Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace. This is Stephen Garchar, and this evening we have a special guest with us. Phil is off. He's with his family enjoying the new year. My wife Sandy is with us this evening. How are you doing, Sandy?
Hi, good. Good evening, everyone.
Well, it's good to be back with you to share God's Word and to do some teaching. And we was just want to recap a little bit. Last week was Christmas Eve, and we did a Christmas Eve or Christmas show. Part of it was Advent, and part of it was Christmas. And we talked about the prophecies that were being fulfilled leading up to the birth of Messiah and also the birth of Jesus on Christmas. And we know that, you know, December 25th might not actually be the birth date of Jesus, but it's important that we celebrate that light that has come into the world. The light, as John says, he was light, and the light entered into the world, and the darkness did not overcome it. So it's really important that we, as believers, I think, celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus, and this great miracle that took place in Bethlehem. And I think to start out with, we hope that you all had a blessed Christmas and that your Christmas was blessed, not just with gifts and presents, but really with the gift that God gives us in the person of Jesus, who is our salvation. And I think we're going to start with Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18 about the birth of Jesus. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. If in our day there was a child born of a virgin, would we take note of that? Would that be something that would catch the world in all its hustle and bustle?
And add to that, no earthly father.
No earthly father. Yeah. How would we respond to that? You know, it's something that I've thought about recently, because we are so, I think, programmed as believers that we understand, we know the Word of God, and we have the Word of God, and we also have 2,000 years of church history and teaching and the development of theology, and that Jesus was both true God and true man. We have the development of the teaching of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot that we have in our day that the first believers and even the Jewish people didn't have in their day. They had the prophets, they had the Torah, they had the prophets from Isaiah and Micah leading up to the birth of Jesus, but they didn't have the fulfillment of those prophecies as we do today. And so I think in looking at it in retrospect and from their perspective, would we recognize and receive the Christ child as they did in their day, as Mary did in her day, as Joseph did, as Elizabeth and Zechariah received the message from the angel? Would we receive that message from God if we were chosen, a chosen vessel to bear the Christ child? And in a lot of ways, I think we are chosen vessels because God has poured his Spirit up into our hearts to proclaim the message of the birth of Jesus, to proclaim the message of the Gospels, and to proclaim the message of reconciliation that Jesus brings forth to reconcile us back to the Father through the grace of the Holy Spirit. So,
I think it's not necessarily a physical birth that we give, but it's more of a spiritual, you know, that we make way, that Jesus may be born in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, that the Lord dwells in us, and that we are that light that shines in the darkness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sandy's saying we need to be that light to the nations. The nation of Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations, to bear that word of God with other people. And the word of God, the gift that we receive from Jesus, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Gospels, is not for us to keep to ourselves. It's for us to share. You know, Jesus says, you know, anybody that receives the light doesn't place it under a bushel basket. They set it on a hill so that everybody can see. And, you know, it's, as we celebrate this season of Christmas, and we're still in the Christmas season, I know that, for the most part, secularized, versions of Christmas are, you know, holiday shopping right after Thanksgiving Day and, you know, the, Black Friday stuff and all that stuff. And, it's really sad to see that we're trampling people to get to an iPhone or to an Xbox. And, that's just not the spirit of Christmas. It's just not the spirit of Christmas at all. And I think when we see those things happening, we can kind of think, is that what it's all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really not. It's really about keeping, and that's where our faith comes into play, is that our faith is to influence and penetrate our culture. Mm-hmm. Our culture is not to influence and penetrate our faith or the church. And when we, who are part of the body of Messiah, a believer in Messiah, act in ways where we don't portray that light of Christ, or we, you know, are we portraying the ways of the world, or are we portraying the ways of God? And that's something that I think every one of us as a believer has to at some time reflect upon in our own heart, in our own privacy of our own prayer time, and sit down before the Lord and say, Lord, am I really reflecting that light of Christ that just came into the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I reflecting the message of salvation, the message of reconciliation? Or am I really in a hurry to get that iPhone? You know, I'm sorry I didn't mean to walk on you, but it's at a good price.
Well, and then say Merry Christmas as you're purchasing the iPhone.
Merry Christmas. Hope you get the next one. You know, it's something I think we as believers have to look at in our own lives, in our hearts. Is our culture overtaking us? Because our world moves at such a fast pace, and many times we can just get, you know, if you step into a stream and the stream's not too deep, well, you can cross a stream without much of a problem. But if you get to a deeper stream and there's a deeper current, a stronger current, can you withstand that current and make it to the other side? You get to a deeper stream or a deeper river and there's a stronger current, you're going to get swept away. And, you know, you look at a rapid, you know, people go whitewater rafting and, you know, that rapid just carries them at tremendous rates of speed. And they're just taken down that river, down that stream. And in our culture, we have to be careful that we are not taken down that stream and carried away, that we end up at a place where we go, how did we get here?
Mm.
And I think it's important that we celebrate, as we were saying before, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. In our last show last weekend on Christmas Eve, at the very end of it, we were talking about that, about this great miracle that happened. And I think that's what Sandy and I want to share and reflect upon this evening, is this great miracle that took place in the city of David, in the town of Bethlehem, and how this miracle in some ways can be overlooked if we don't turn our attention to it and really focus our hearts upon it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And as Stephen was saying, I mean, I think that there's so much of the hustle and bustle, you know, of making cookies, getting the house ready, and you know, getting all the gifts and just all the preparation that we do. And, you know, and I think that sometimes it's taking that moment and remembering what this is all about. And it is all about Christ's birth, which is, as Christians, I mean, that is huge. That's, you know, that's our Savior. And to take time out and to celebrate his birth, I think it's worthy to rewind a little bit and say, did we miss it?
Yeah. Not that cookies aren't important.
No. Of course not.
But, because everybody likes holiday cookies. But going back to our scripture passages, if we look at, I don't really want to get to the visit of the Magi yet, but I want to get into Luke, where we have the proclamation of the birth of Jesus, and also, I believe we have the shepherds that announce this. The angel of the Lord comes to the shepherds and announces this great miracle that's taking place. Now, in the first chapter of Luke, we ended up with the Cantle of Zechariah, where Zechariah was mute. He didn't believe wholeheartedly what the angel Gabriel came to proclaim to him, that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son, and this son is going to be named John, and that he was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was going to prepare a way. He's going to make the mountains made low, the valleys made raised up, and make a straight path for the Lord. And in Luke chapter 2, we read, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town, and Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And I think we all know the story that, you know, Joseph and Mary were coming there, and they were looking for a place to stay. And it's really amazing to me how, even though Caesar Augustus might have not known that he was being used by God, he was. He put out this decree that everybody's going to be enrolled, and then the fulfillment of prophecy start to take place that Jesus is going to be born in Nazareth, in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And so in verse 8, chapter 2, it says, "Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" So I want to look at this. We want to look at this scripture passage just a little bit and talk about it, because these shepherds are in the field and they're keeping the night watch over their flock. And shepherds, as we pointed out, were not looked upon in their society as very trustworthy. They couldn't give testimony in a court. And God chooses to send an angel to them to proclaim this message that today in the city of David, I'm going to bear to you my son. My son's being born. And this is probably the greatest moment in human history, that God is going to take on human flesh and become part human and fully divine, and be the atonement for our sins, and make the way of reconciling us back to the Father for transgressions of sin. And in that, he comes to the lowly. As Mary said in her Magnificat, The Lord has looked with favor upon his handmaid, the lowliness of his servant. And here he comes to these shepherds in the field, and they're seeing this great multitude of angels after the angel proclaims this to them. And there's this praise of glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to whom his favor, to those whom his favor rest. And it's just such an amazing passage of scripture that this great miracle is taking place, this great miracle of God. God's intervening in humankind to announce the birth of his son. And it's just to these shepherds in the field.
It reminds me of Isaiah, that God's ways are not our ways. You know, that a lot of times, you know, how we would have maybe planned the whole thing out and definitely wouldn't have been to shepherds and in a manger with animals, and would be much more cleaner and nicer.
Yeah,
smelling better too.
there wasn't Facebook back then, so he couldn't announce it on Facebook, and he couldn't call up like your local TV station and say, "Hey, I got a news bulletin and press release for you guys, and I'm going to announce that my son's going to be born today in Bethlehem." Mm-hmm. And then they'd have all the, you know, they'd have CNN and, you know, Fox News and everybody there. All the trucks would be there, and they'd broadcast it all over the world. You know, it wasn't like that at all, obviously, because we didn't have all that technology back then, but. These shepherds are given this glorious message. And, you know, when we sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we sing that Gloria in Excelsis Deo, those are some of the songs that are inspired by what has taken place here. So the songs that we sing at Christmas time, and the sounds that we have there, you know, angels we have heard on high, hark the herald angels sing, joy to the world. Those are songs that are so inspired by this message of the birth of the Messiah. And unfortunately, over the last few years, as I've talked to some people, there's somewhat of a debate that goes on between, well, is this the actual day that Jesus was born? Well, no, it's not. Well, it's just made up. It's a pagan holiday. And, you know, you have these different areas that people talk about. And I think rightly so. We have to look at what are we celebrating? What is there? And, are we worshiping God or are we worshiping a tree? Mm-hmm. Are we worshiping God? Are we worshiping some pagan holiday that is just insert, you know, we just inserted, you know, mm-hmm. the birth of Jesus into this pagan holiday.
Yeah.
And I think if we really look at it and look at, we have to go back and understand hundreds of years of church history in, you know, especially the early church, the first couple hundred centuries, where people are wrestling with Jesus, with Mary and Joseph, with the whole point of Jesus's life. Is he true God and true man? You know, there's these councils are being acted upon, and the priests in the church, the bishops in the church are gathering together, and they're talking about these things. They're going through the scriptures. And I think we have to go back into those days. We'd really have to go back into those days and really look at what were they talking about? What were they thinking about? In why did they choose this day? And, you know, as we talked about on the last program, this time in the town of Judea, it was dark, and the light of Christ, the light of the world, comes into the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And, you know, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Word made flesh, and he's the light of the world. And this is a great song, and we're going to take a break right here and come back to you in a little bit on The Gift of Grace. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
We will be right back with The Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
You are mighty. You are worthy,
you are worthy,
worthy of praise,
worthy of praise.
I will follow,
I will follow,
I will live.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace, everyone. We thank you for listening to us this evening on this New Year's Eve night. It's good to be back here with you. And as we were, as we came into the first break, we were talking about how in this time in Judea, there was a lot of darkness. And God appointed this time to bring His Son, the light of the world, into this darkness. And I'm just going to read briefly from the first chapter of John, because I think this really embodies what we're talking about. This is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through Him, and without Him nothing can be, or nothing came to be. What came to be through Him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he talks about John. A man named John was sent from God, and he came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And that's referencing Yeshua, Jesus. He was in the world, and the world came to be known through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And he's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that were chosen by God. We're all born of a human person, of a human mother and father. But the baptism, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he's talking about being reborn of water and spirit. And he's talking about being chosen and born of God, born of spirit. And the Word became flesh. This is in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So John, in his first chapter, really embodies this light coming into the world, who is Jesus. And, you know, for my wife and I, for Sandy and I, when we were first dating, we were not, you know, we believed in God, but we weren't really believers. We were away from the Lord. And at Christmas time, you know, we would buy each other gifts. We bought each other a lot of gifts. And, it was like, wow, this is really great. But I think
I think our focus was on the gifts.
it was more on the gifts, mm-hmm. and the, you know, giving the gifts, and not so much on, oh, this is the birth of Jesus. And at that time in our lives, I think we were caught up in the world. We were caught up in worldly things. And, as many of you probably have heard us share some testimony, that there was a time where we came to the Lord. You know, Sandy was struggling, or she was being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. We went to a healing service. There was an evangelist there, and he called people forth. And my wife received prayer. And several months later, all the symptoms of the multiple sclerosis were going away. And that was back in 1997, and she's never had any symptoms of multiple sclerosis since then. And a couple years later, like a year and a half later after that, you know, she went to an eye doctor. I can even let her tell the story since she's here, so I don't want to do all the talking.
Okay. Yeah, as Stephen was saying, I went to an eye doctor, and he was a new eye doctor, actually, and so he was being very thorough with me, and I didn't mention anything about the MS to him, and I just remember him looking at me and saying, "Do you know you have an excellent central nervous system?" And it was just, wow, you know, because MS attacks the central mm-hmm. nervous system. And so it was, you know, for me, confirmation that, you know, that I was healed, and that, you know, medically speaking, because they do say that actually when people, you know, that you look at a person's eye, that it can tell a lot about a person's health.
Yeah.
So, so that was a good confirmation that God is healed. And as Stephen was saying, we, It took us a while to come back.
Yeah, we started reading scripture. I remember that we both made that altar call when they called mm-hmm. people forward to give their lives to the Lord. We made that altar call, and yeah, I was so far away from the church and from the Lord that, not even realizing that, you know, every time I would pray the creed, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, that I'm professing my faith in God, but they were kind of just, they were, at that time, they were just words that they weren't deeply rooted in my heart. And that's, you know, sometimes we can get into a kind of a rut and we say words and, you know, are they really in our heart? Are they just, we were just repeating them. And that's kind of where I was at. And so after that call back to the Lord and in over a couple years, as we were learning and growing about and growing in our relationship with the Lord, Christmas really started to take on a different, a deeper meaning of what it really was. It's a day set aside by the church and in which we proclaim this great miracle, this great mystery of God intervening in human history, and the Christ child is being born. And if we can focus on a lot of things in this season. We can focus on the turkey. We can focus on the ham. We can focus on the trimmings. We can focus on the gifts. We can focus on the returns and the sales and all this other stuff. And, you know, being with family is important. But the true gift at Christmas is that gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation that is a free gift. You know, we can't do anything to earn it. All we do is accept it. And in that, do we, and even in the debate about when was Jesus born? Well, it's not the 25th. It's really, you know, it's a pagan holiday. In all that stuff, do we miss the message in the recounting of this great miracle that took place? And we miss the great miracle that God did through the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it reminds me, I always, like when I see a bulletin that says, keep Christ in Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been thinking just lately about how a lot of times we would put, instead of saying writing out Christmas, we would put Xmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just eliminate Christ and put an X, like as if like Christ doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we put an X on things that we want to say no to. And, you know, So are we eliminating Christ or are we keeping Him in Christmas?
Mm-hmm. And even more importantly than just keeping Him in Christmas, do we keep Him in the forefront of our world mm-hmm. that we proclaim, hey, everybody, this is the light. This is the light of this light that came into the world is the Christ child. And we're proclaiming this glory to God. We're giving God all the glory for this. And I think that's one of the things that we can miss when we get sidetracked on some of these other issues, that while we can talk about them, I think the important thing is that we share the message of the gospel. We share this message of the nativity, of the birth of Jesus, the visit of the shepherds, the message of the angel, because it's all about God. We want to proclaim God's glory, that God's glorified. And, you know, the shepherds were just in the field and they're like, wow, what's going on? You know, the angel says, well, you know, don't be afraid. And whenever there's an angel, you know, an angel appears to Zechariah and, you know, Zechariah's, you know, frightened. He says, don't be afraid. You know, appears to Mary and Mary's disturbed and don't worry, Mary, you know, angel Gabriel from God. So you have to wonder, like when you see an angel, these like really big creatures that everybody goes, oh no, there's an angel. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. So these angels appear and they give this message that is given to them by God. And in the season of Christmas, you know, the church celebrates the birth of Christ. We celebrate, that nativity of the Lord. We also celebrate His leading up to His baptism. We celebrate the presentation in the temple, that took place all along this period of time. We celebrate you know, the epiphany, the wise men coming and bearing gifts to the Christ child. So I see a lot of people shutting their Christmas lights off already. Mm-hmm. Trees are out on the street. But unfortunately, this part of Christmas, I think, is sometimes overlooked, as it represents the beginning of Jesus's life and what's taken place there in our, in really the history of not just so much the church, but the history of what happened after the birth of Jesus in recounting these stories. And did you have something there that you wanted to read?
I think we were going to read the presentation of the temple.
Yes, we were. So let's do that right now. Let's read the presentation of the temple. Then this is in Luke chapter 2, and we'll start at... Let's go back for a second. Let's talk about the visit of the shepherds. I think that's important. So when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that has been told to them about the child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. And we have to remember that Jesus will later tell his disciples, "The prophets long to see what you see." They long to hear what you hear, but did not see it and did not hear it because it was not the fulfillment of time. And the shepherds hear this and see this. Not the high priest, not the mayors, not the governors, shepherds, the lowly. In verse 21, when 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph followed the law because they were under the law, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." Wow. Simeon is this man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, a very righteous and upright man, and he's waiting to see the Messiah. He was told that he would not die until he sees the Messiah. He picks up Jesus, takes him into his arms, and he recounts, and he says this, Master, you can let your servant go in peace. And that Jesus is going to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. And all of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah and just waiting, and great anticipation was there. And so the child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There is also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. You know, so Simeon and Anna are in the temple. Joseph and Mary bring Jesus into the temple for his presentation. And these words are spoken about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, you know, if you have a child, then, you know, you take him to church and present him to the Lord and consecrate him to the Lord or have him baptized. I'm not sure if there's too many times where there's a couple prophets in there that are giving you all these words of knowledge about your child.
And, you know, that's the amazement is, you know, that's definitely God's Holy Spirit that's speaking through them, you know, because, you know, here he is, you know, they both know and they're awaiting the promise and they know. No one's telling them that, you know, that's Jesus, that's the Messiah. They just know.
Right.
So how did they know?
Yeah,
I believe that's the Holy Spirit.
By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yeah. Yeah, very true. And so when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And I hear another song. That means we're up to our second break. Time really does go fast
mm-hmm.
when you're in this chair. So we'll be right back on The Gift of Grace.
We will be right back with The Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Angeli, e dai monti fin qua giù, portan gioia i deboli, gloria in excelsis. Oh,
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Gift of Grace. This is Stephen Garchar, and I'm sitting in with my wife this evening, Sandy.
Good evening.
Phil is celebrating the New Year's with his wife and their, and I think their children. So we want to wish them a, Phil, we hope you're listening.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he is. We want to wish them a happy New Year, as we do want to wish all of you who are listening a very happy and blessed New Year. So we've been talking about the birth of Jesus in this Christmas season, and you might be wondering, why are they still talking about the birth of Jesus? Didn't that happen a couple days ago? Well, we're leading up into what's called the Epiphany, which is the visit of the Magi, and just recounting this great miracle that has taken place, and that the church celebrates, has designated one day of the year to celebrate the birth of our Messiah. And I think it's so important that we recognize and just cherish this great miracle that God has given to us, this gift of salvation, that we see it for what it truly is, and that it's just a great miracle and a great act and work of God on our behalf, because His love is so great for us. He is rich in mercy, and He draws us and draws us and draws us and just continually draws us to Himself, because He loves us so much that He gave us His only Son, that He would be a gift to us, to those who receive Him. And if it's not, you know, if it's not without purchase, and there's nothing we can do to earn this gift of salvation, we just have to receive it because it's a free gift. And, you know, Phil and I have talked many times on the show that if we can earn it, it wouldn't be a gift.
Right.
And then we can boast, but we can't boast. So, and,
I paid more for it.
Yeah. And Sandy will tell you, you don't want me boasting. So, the visit of the Magi to Jesus, you know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah in the days of King Herod, you know, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, and they were asking, where is this newborn King of the Jews? And we saw this star that's rising and have come to pay homage to him. And so King Herod hears about this, and he's greatly troubled. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And so if we look in Matthew chapter 2, there's an account of the visit of the Magi. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes and the people, he inquires of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah. For thus it had been written through the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." So they go to the scrolls and find the passage, and they tell Herod where this is, you know, where the Messiah is going to be born at. And Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring my word that I too may do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was born. And they were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they prostrated themselves and gave homage to Jesus. And they presented them with gifts of with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they departed for their own country by another way. And it leads us into something that we see, this great spiritual battle that continues between God and Satan, and that we are in the middle of, and we have to be vigilant about, because the devil will stop at nothing to try and win our soul, to try and take our soul away from God. If he's going to approach the Son of God, as he did Jesus, and tempt him with the riches of the world, and if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Mm. He's not going to stop at anything to tempt us. And we're not above that. So we really have to be vigilant and on guard and put on the full armor of God against the tactics of the evil one. So Herod goes back and he slaughters, orders the death of every newborn male 2 years and under, because there was about a 2 year period from when the Magi first saw the star. So Herod is in his mind is thinking, okay, if I decree that all these firstborn males are going to be born that are 2 years or under, I'll get rid of this king. Mm-hmm. I'm the king and nobody's going to take my kingship away from me. And so then Joseph is warned in a dream to depart for Egypt with Mary and the child, and they go to Egypt. So we see that, you know, we have to realize that all throughout the history of mankind, God created us because out of his great love. And in the garden, there was a fall. And ever since that fall in the garden by Adam and Eve, God has had this plan of salvation to be carried out in the fulfillment of time to reconcile us back to himself. And that is the essential message that we as believers, doesn't matter what denomination you are, if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, take the message of the gospel, the message of reconciliation, the message of his birth out to those who are searching for this light. You know, a friend of ours once told us that in the desert, the worst type of person in the desert is someone who doesn't tell you where the water's at. And we have the living water. We have the light of the gospel. We have the light of Christ. We have the light of the world. We need to put that bushel basket on the hill, set it on the hill, say, this is the Christ. This is the Savior. And he's come to set us free and offer that gift of salvation to those who are near and near and dear to us, those who are not near and dear to us, and to really extend our hands and our hearts to be servants of the Lord, because Jesus came, as he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And if anybody wants to follow me, you too are going to be a servant. You know, if you're looking to be the leader, well, guess what? You're going to be the least. You're going to be the last. And those who are called into leadership really have to be the greatest servants, because they have the most responsibility of proclaiming the message of salvation and proclaiming this message of reconciliation that is given to us through Christ, through Jesus, through Yeshua. And as we, you know, as we continue on, I think that, in this Christmas season, that our prayer for you is that during this time, you would still stop and reflect upon this great gift of God, in the Christ child, this mm-hmm. great gift that he's given to us in Jesus, his son.
Amen. Amen. And I think that, you know, as we were just hours away from New Year's, and many of us start to look at, you know, New Year's resolutions and, you know, want to maybe lose weight and, you know, go to the gym more, and we want to eat better, and, you know, we want to take care of our physical bodies, but also maybe consider some of our spiritual needs as well, and, you know, maybe praying more. You know, when's the last time we heard that as a New Year's resolution? Praying and fasting. Wow. You know, but it, you know, reading the Bible more, or just, you know, really looking at and saying, need to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are good thoughts. Well, I'm glad I got to spend this New Year's Eve with my wife, Sandy, and all of you who are listening. So on behalf of Gift of Grace, we want to wish you a happy New Year and a blessed New Year. And we pray that the grace of God is going to be poured out upon you abundantly, and the Holy Spirit will just fill your lives. And go out there and share that light of the gospel and the light of the newborn Christ child. And we wish you a happy New Year from Gift of Grace Ministries. We'll see you next week right here on AM 1220 The Word. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220 The Word. Thanks and God bless.